Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Coming up on Dig It.
My friend said the other day, oh, you need to get yourself one of those magnifying mirrors. And I went, no, I absolutely do not.
I'm going to go and plunge my face into some ice cold water.
Just moisturise me.
Have you ever broken wind in the studio? Have you had to? Can you pull it back up?
He was like, oh, I've got a special present for you both. They were pants that you could pass wind in and nobody would be able to smell it because it was absorbed into the pants.
What? All of that right after this. Welcome to Monday's episode. Hi, everybody. Joe, we really need to have a collective name, I think, don't we? For our listeners and our viewers. If we're called Dig It, Can they be diggers?
They could be diggers. Yeah, they could be diggers. I'm sure they'll have better ideas than we do.
Yes.
And what do we call Mondays? Do we call it, I don't know, is it Dig Deeper?
Dig Deeper. Like it.
But there'll be somebody watching now who's got a much better idea. And if that's the case, you have to let us know.
Yeah, well, we discovered that, didn't we?
Yeah.
With the name of the podcast. Everyone's suggestions were brilliant.
So we've discussed a lot already so far. We were talking about parties and social anxiety and so many people, I mean, quite shockingly, so many people came out and said how hard they found going to social gatherings, dinner parties and parties. And we did a Spotify poll and we've got the results now. So I can tell you, how do you actually feel about going to a party? And the response was 9% said, love it, first to dance. That's just 9%. 4% said, in and out in 10 minutes. 32% said, can I just not? And then 55% said, only if I know people. So I think it's that familiarity. And like we said last week, it's about giving people jobs, giving them something to do, maybe doing a quiz. We do that quite often when we have parties, just so that there is an activity that people are nailed to and kind of they can just throw themselves into that thing. But that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite amazing. In and out in 10 minutes. That's totally where I am. But I think it's really good to, you know, share that as a conversation for everybody to be like, oh, I don't have to feel so bad because it's not just me, it's everybody else. And look, Even Will Young, the fabulous Will Young, got in touch and said on one of our social videos, he said, I blame the dogs to get out of things. Yes, got to get back for the dogs. Sorry, can't come to the party. Got to look after the dogs. We love you, Will. Sending loads of love.
It's weird. I've always used my sister. I think my dad has as well, because she needs taking care of. She's just the best partner in the world to go to a party or a social gathering with, because you've always got that excuse of, you know, you're tethered to her and you have to care for her and you have to go and do things that she wants to do, whether it's taking her to the toilet or I just let her dominate the conversation because she is quite loud. So, I don't know about dogs, but my sister, I use her.
Also, I'd want Frances at any party. She sounds like the most fun ever, your sister. The fact that she loves bingo and she's very loud. You need her at every party.
Yeah, no, she's definitely the dominant sister out of the two of us. She is the one who will have the conversation, who will, as soon as she sees someone, is just like, yay, Norma, and we'll give her a big hug and ask people questions. Her question normally, this is her party etiquette, is what's your name? How old are you? Have you got a dog? I mean, they're the three questions you need, really, isn't it?
They're the best. best questions. I love that, going straight in with how old are you?
Yeah, always, always.
I imagine people being really kind of like disarmed by her as well, telling her everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Supermarkets, parties, wherever you are, car parks.
Fantastic.
Joe S on Spotify said, tips for icebreakers at parties. What 5 ingredients are essential for a best cooked breakfast? It sounds really dull, but it comes this very passionate debate. So just bring that into the conversation and just ask people, what would you have? 5 things. I mean, who has hash browns when you could have black pudding? It just gets the conversation going. So I love
Fantastic.
That. That's Joe S. Thank you for that.
Okay. Joe S. Well, let's quickly do that now. 5 key ingredients for a cooked breakfast for me would have to be bacon, egg, sausage, tinned tomatoes, love them, and beans. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I would go for bubble and squeak. The Super Sausage near us does an amazing bubble and squeak. So it'd be a bubble, scrambled egg, baked beans, tomatoes, and hash browns. All the potato, all the carbs.
God, all the carbs.
Guess what I'm doing after this? Guess where I'm going after this?
Are you going to the...
Super Sausage.
The Super Sausage.
Super Sausage.
I need to go to the Super Sausage. This is lovely. We've got a voice note. Alison has been in touch about planting for loved ones.
Hi, Zoe. Hi, Joe. Alison from St Albans here. Thank you so much for the pet music and gardening chat. This podcast is brilliant. Particular shout out to the plants for people mentioned in the first episode. I lost my mum 2 years ago to motor neurone disease, and she was a really serious gardener. I couldn't actually save all of her actual plants, but there are ones that I've replaced in her memory. And earlier this year, I was in the garden centre and I got actual shivers up my spine from finding the first ever flower seeds that she gave me for my brownie gardening badge when I was a child. It was candy tuft, and I've never thought about this flower at all in decades. And then suddenly there they were at the till, and I just love them. And they've grown so beautifully in my borders. And it really matters to see the living horticulture around you. It kind of means you're breathing the same air as them, even when they're gone. But thanks again. And just want to say I can't wait for the next episode.
Oh, God, how Alison. Eloquently put. That's so beautiful, Alison.
I know. And it's so moving. I lost my stepdad to motor neuron disease. It is a cruel, cruel disease. But, you know, as Alison was telling that story, you can feel, you know, I feel the hairs go up on end on my arms, because those little moments, there's often those moments come at such unexpected times that you feel that connection or something triggers those wonderful memories. And then to find the seeds and plant them, and look how beautiful they are.
If you'd like to see Alison's plants, then you can. Of course, you can see them if you watch on Spotify or YouTube.
Alison, that was truly moving. I'm so sorry to hear about your mum, Alison. And like you say, there's something about growing things for our lost loves. It really is quite a special thing, isn't it?
Just to have them part of your garden every time you walk out there and you see them, and you're just like, hi. Hello.
Hi.
I know. Literally, I mean, God, Charles was talking about talking to plants like decades and decades ago, and then had the people taking the mickey out of him. And I talk to my plants because they symbolise the people that we've lost. Yeah, absolutely.
I really do.
Personally, I would like to see more photographs of people's plants and hear the stories behind them as well. So
yes, please. Yeah,
send them our way. Send them our way.
Yeah, do. Especially new things like candy tuft. I've never heard of candy tuft. No. I'm going to look out for that as well.
Okay. Another voice note, I think.
Hi, Joe and Zoe. It's Kerry from Be More Betty. In relation to your present buying, that we have a very funny story in our family that my nan always buys us pants for Christmas. And I always get the shit ones, like every year. And this has been going on for at least 20 years, that my sister will get some nice thongs. And I get these friggin' apple catcher, like boob hugger pants. And last year they were in apple green. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And also, just to put it into perspective, not that there's anything wrong with sizes, but I'm a size 10 and these are like a size 16 to 18. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, what we do is we actually have to wear them all day. And it's quite funny. So that's my gift of love for my nan. I mean, I just wouldn't buy pants for my grandkids. Or maybe I would. I'm not there yet. But I just don't have the heart to tell her that they don't fit. But anyway, have a great day. I cannot wait for your podcast to come out. You're my two favourite people. Aww. And hope it all goes well.
Oh, Kerry. We will always think of Kerry in her size 16 apple green apple catcher pants. That's hilarious.
Oh my God, Kerry, you've just reminded me. Last week we were asked about our worst presents and I couldn't think of anything. And Disco Steve is going to absolutely kill me when I tell this story, but the worst present I've ever received, it was me and it was India, my daughter. This was about 5 years ago. And at the end of Christmas, he was like, oh, I've got a special present for you both. I don't want you to open it in front of anybody else. So come in the other room and open it here. We were like, oh, this is exciting. Is it going to be jewellery? Is it going to be something very special? He handed us over these packets. And inside were pants, but they were pants that you could pass wind in and nobody would be able to smell it because it was absorbed into the pants.
Where did he find those?
On the internet. He found them on the internet, of course, because he's always there on TikTok or wherever looking around. And he was like, it's really good because, you know, when you're in the studio or when you're taking photographs in here or whatever you're doing, you can just do what you have to do and it's fine. No one will smell it. It just gets absorbed into the pants.
Oh, my Lord.
Honestly, he will kill me.
A practical thing, but they sound disgusting. I also want to know about the science. How do they stop the wind seeping out? Where does it go? Where does the smell go?
I think it's to do with carbon.
Really?
I think there might be carbon something in the gusset.
Have they got some really sort of like bread-like gusset?
Yeah. So it all gets absorbed into the gusset. No one knows. You can just go about your act. You can carry on doing your radio show. You can take photographs, whatever. Nobody knows. You're all fine.
I mean, this is next level stuff. And I love that. He buys them for you, his wife, and his eldest daughter. Why do the rest of them? Why did Cass not get any? I mean, you know, there's so many questions here.
I know, right?
Revenge will be sweet, though. Revenge will be sweet. I think anyone who has suggestions of things that Joe and India could give to Disco Steve as revenge, get them in.
But he did it with love. He was really proud when he gave them to us. It wasn't like, oh, this is a joke, this is a gag, I bought you these. It was like, look, this is genius. Look what I found on the internet. This is amazing. It's going to change your life. And so our faces, when we started laughing and we were disgusted, he was like, so crestfallen, it was awful.
But it's a good question, though. Have you ever broken wind in the studio? Have you had to? Can you pull it back up? Can you kind of hold it in?
I would never discuss that on a podcast, Zoe.
Okay.
Never.
You know, because it is terrible in a situation where you're like, oh, I really, really, oh, and you have to just sort of, I don't know if it's possible.
Everyone's been there.
Suck the air back up and hold it in, or just blame someone else. Yeah, if you're on your own, it's impossible.
Anyway, moving on.
Sorry.
Moving on.
I blame Disco Steve for this whole conversation.
We're going to take a quick break for some ads. But if you're keen to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, don't forget you can subscribe to The Potting Shed.
Become a member of The Potting Shed and receive bonus bits, longer episodes and early access to tickets to live events. If you're wondering how to subscribe, there is a link in the show notes.
Right, time for a break. This episode of Dig It is sponsored by Ancient and Brave. Zoe, do you ever feel kind of quite creaky in the morning when you try and get out of bed?
Oh my goodness me. Not just in the morning, getting out of the car, all sorts, knees, hips, back. Anything feels like a workout these days.
What I've been doing recently is adding Ancient and Brave's Wild Collagen into my morning routine. It's a really simple way to support joints and skin health. It's a way of getting it into your body.
Yeah, I love it too. Collagen is the most abundant protein in our bodies, didn't you know? But we start to lose it from our mid-20s. So adding a daily scoop of their neutral tasting marine collagen, sustainably sourced and easy to stir into anything, is such an easy win.
Yeah, a really good thing I like as well is that they're proud members of 1% for the Planet, which means that 1% of all their sales, which they've now actually increased to 2%, goes directly to environmental causes that protect our planet.
Go to ancientandbrave.earth/planet and use the code DIGIT for 20% off your first one-off purchase.
So that's DIGIT, D-I-G-I-T, at ancientandbrave.earth/planet.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
If you're loving Dig It so far, don't forget to hit follow so you'll never miss an episode.
Okay, nicknames. We had an email from Kim Collinson. If you want to get an email to us, it's questions@digitpod.co.uk, by the way. So questions@digitpod.co.uk. And Kim was saying, relating to names that your kids call you, our eldest started to call us by our real names rather than mum and dad when she was about 10. I thought it was a phase, so I just ignored it. You obviously pick your battles and all that. But then our youngest started doing it. And now that's all they ever call us. It annoys the hell out of our families and friends question it, but there's no going back now. And it makes me a little bit sad, but what can you do? I couldn't deal with that.
No. I mean, the kids can call me Zoe if they need my attention. I'm all for using the full name, someone's like full name, you know, middle names and everything if you need, you know, when they're like, when you're shouting for them, like, Woody Frank Cook, then it might finally answer. But yeah, I'd hate it if my kids call me Zoe. Be really weird.
I'm mum or mama or ma sometimes. They're the three names that I get called. And I would feel a bit sad as well, Kerry. I know exactly where you're coming from. But also that you can't stop them is so frustrating, isn't it? That they're just going to carry on and that's what they're going to call you. And there is nothing you can do about it apart from ignore them.
I love this one from Natasha Simpson, though, on Instagram. He says, my two call me Stephen or Steve with a V. It's important. Absolutely no idea why. I mean, that's genius. Good. That's hilarious. Oi, Steve, Stephen. It's just for no reason whatsoever. I'd like to meet those kids. They sound brilliant.
I've got a voice note next from Louise.
Hi, guys. I wanted to send a voice note in because I really enjoyed the first episode and I was listening to it after putting my 22-month-old baby to sleep and I was cleaning the kitchen. And it is so lovely to hear from people that are further along on the motherhood journey. And I love that it is a gardening podcast as well, because one thing I've reflected on since becoming a mother, especially when I was in maternity leave, which was the longest I was off from work, was how you notice the seasons a lot more, I think, when you become a parent, because you're off the sort of rat run of life and enjoying a completely different way of being. My little daughter is called Flory. We have kitchen discos where we put on YouTube and we dance around the kitchen to like our own selections, which invariably is songs that take us back to our university days or some really cool dance music, just things that put us back in touch with who we were before we became parents. So I suppose my question is, what tools do you guys or experiences do you guys have to keep you in touch with who you were before you became parents? And also maybe something to bridge that gap. How do you bring the next generation along with you and maybe foster similar interests and keep yourself in touch with who you were, but also who you've now become? Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Louise. What a great, gorgeous name, Flory.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. That, I'd nick that if I wasn't too old to have kids now. It's funny, isn't it? When you're a new parent, there is that thing where you slightly lose your identity and you can't quite remember who you were before. Whereas now, I don't know how it is for you, Joe, I love being a mum. It's the best thing about my life, being mum, I think. It's such a gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Yes, it causes you so much stress. You never don't worry about your kids. But as they get older and they become these personalities, and it doesn't matter what you've played them or how you've brought them up, they'll become individuals who have their own passions in life and their own humour. And you see little moments of yourself sometimes, the good and the bad, and little bits of, you know, dads and also other members of the family where I think, oh my God, you've got that from your granddad. Yes, they're really clever. They're really smart. They didn't get that from me. But it changes, doesn't it, as your kids grow.
Yeah, I was quite flummoxed by this question because it's so long ago that I can't remember how I felt when I had a baby, because it's so all consuming and it's so much your identity being a mum. it just takes over completely. So I actually reached out to a couple of my daughter's friends because we're now into the next stage of our lives where my daughter's friends are having babies. And so I thought I'd just ask them what they, how they feel, because Louise, they're kind of similar to yourself. And one of them, Ali, was saying that playing tennis is her thing. So it's just something that reminds her of who she used to be. She loved playing tennis. So when she has her daughter looked after by someone else, and she'll go on the tennis court and she'll play tennis, and it just reminds her of the Ali that she was before she became a mum, and it just gives a little bit of herself back. And then I spoke to Jade as well, who's got the gorgeous Otto, and she was saying it's going to festivals, just getting some time out and doing the thing that you used to do. So being the festival goer that you were before you were the mum. And just, it's basically just getting some time away from your child, isn't it? And doing the things that made you happy and were big, big parts of your identity. So it's having people help you out to give you some space if you possibly can. And I know that's not the case for everybody. But it's just reconnecting with the stuff that made you who you were before you became a mother.
I think if you're really lucky, and I think this is something, you know, to learn quite early on into parenthood, is having kids that will happily go to someone. Now, if you're lucky enough, you've got parents who support or friends who can come and give you a hand now and again, just to give you that, you know, even if it's just to give you that time to go and brush your teeth or have a shower or have 20 minutes to yourself. But having kids who will happily go to someone, you know, whether that's a regular babysitter or, you know, another family member or something like that, it is, it's kind of good for them. It's good for the baby to not always be clung on to mum, because I think if the longer and longer baby will only go to mum, the less freedom you have. And it's really tricky because, you know, some parents, when you're first parents, you don't want to hand your baby over to anyone else. You want to do it all yourself and you want to be so fiercely independent. But I think it is good if you can now and again to get some help that'll just give you that little bit of freedom. Like, you know, even if that's to walk around the block and, you know, breathe in and out, have a bit of time for yourself. It's invaluable, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, my kids would go to other people rather than be with me when I was younger, to be honest with you. And I worked. So you were a working mum as well, weren't you? So, you know, my kids did get used to having other people look after them.
Out of necessity.
Yeah, out of necessity, absolutely. And I know lots of our listeners, you know, are probably working parents as well.
I think it's very hard when people don't have family or friends nearby and also can't afford childcare. It's, you're just, the two of you just become this one item and you just don't get a break. And I'm really aware that that happens for an awful lot of people as well, just not having family around to, because there's a natural inclination, isn't there, for a grandchild to go to their grandparents. That's absolute, that they just will. I'm haunted by dropping off my boys in particular, because India I took with me everywhere, but the boys, I had to put them into nursery because of my work, and they hated it. They absolutely hated it. And they screamed and they cried, and that awful thing of walking away from them and seeing them in the hands of someone that you don't know really. It's a horrible feeling, and it makes me feel sick to my stomach now when I think about it. And I kind of gave up in the end. It's why we moved house. It's why we moved to where we are now, so that we could be near my mum and dad. And then they helped out with the childcare. My dad became our nanny. But we were lucky enough to be able to do that. Yeah. But it was a sacrifice of moving out of London and moving back here. And it just changed absolutely everything. But it was the only way I could think to keep the kids happy. So we did it.
And then once they're older, you're really excited that they're still around. They come around, they come out and they hang out. And you're like, I can't wait for my kids to have grandkids. I mean, Nell's 15. It's going to be a while. Woody's 24 and he's not showing any signs of that. But I sort of, that's my thing. I'm like, I'll be a really good girl. I'll eat all my greens. If you just give me enough time on this planet to see my kids have kids.
Okay, next question. Sorry, we deviated an awful lot there, but you caused a big debate. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a video message next. Let's see who we've got.
Hello, Joe and Zoe. My name is Millie, and I'm so happy you're going to be doing a podcast together. But I'm just sending a quick message to ask you if you had any tips for amazing under eye cream. So since hitting 50, I'm getting really big bags under my eyes, and nothing I've tried seems to work. So I just wondered if perhaps you'd give me any tips. Bye.
How gorgeous is Millie? She's absolutely stunning.
I know. I am loving hearing people and seeing people. Yes.
Yay.
I just feel like this is this massive gang, this collective that we've got, and everyone's just so gorgeous and articulate, and we've got the same interests. This is just so lovely. Anyway, gush over. under eye bags. I don't get bags particularly, but...
Oh, you're so lucky.
Oh my God, no, but if I drink, I absolutely see I get puffy under the eyes. So I don't really drink very much anymore, hardly. But the best thing I think is filling up a bowl, a sink with cold water and just plunging your face into it. And that just tightens up all the skin. And that is a really, really good way. And then also getting those little, like the gel sachets that you keep in the fridge that are really cold and sticking those under your eyes. They're good. They're really good.
See, I buy those and then I never use them. They're all under the sink. I can't be doing with all the creams and stuff because I kind of, I have shelves of creams, all those different things, but I can't, you know, by the time you've done cleanse and put your peptides on or whatever else it is in a bottle that I'm like, oh, apparently I need this. I can't be bothered to do an eye cream as well. So I've never bothered doing it. I've got that thing of wearing glasses now where underneath they're getting quite black. And I'm not very good with... was it concealer and all those under eye creams? Because I always find as you get older, everything gets a bit more dried and crevicey. And the more stuff I put on it, the worse it seems to be. So I think you're probably right, Jo. I think the plunge your face into ice cold water is probably the cheapest and the best thing you could do. And also, Millie, can I just say, you look phenomenal. I don't think you need to be worrying about it. You look so great. But it's interesting you saying about them being worse when you've been drinking. It's probably a lot of it's dehydration, isn't it?
Toxins, I guess. That's what I've always assumed, that it's just kind of all the nasty toxins that just gather there. And I look at photographs now of when I was, like, I was going to Glastonbury. There was just a phase that I was really just loving my Jack Daniels. I was having a great, great time. But I can see on my face that I've just got like these dark bags. I'm like, oh God, that's probably just full of Jack Daniels there. So I think just not drinking has made me look a lot better. And also sleeping, like trying to get some sleep is really important. I never get enough sleep, but I definitely look a lot better, a lot plumper. And then, you know, dare I say it, facials. And I can never say this,
Gua sha. Yes.
They're quite good,
they're
I think.
They're really good.
Getting rid of all the gunk that's trapped under your eyes. So maybe one of those. I tell you what, I would really love to see if somebody could actually do a demonstration, a display of how to use a gua sha, and also tell us how to say it properly too. please. Show us what to do.
Because you're trying to do the lymphatic drainage, aren't you?
That's it.
There's loads of people that do videos of it, and you just buy them in Boots or buy them in your chemist, and you're sort of pulling up, trying to get the puffy drainage, the lymphatic drainage. And then I think what do you do? Take it around the back of your ear and then
scoop it to behind your ear, I think, so that it can all live there. No one can see it.
Yeah. Just so behind our ears, we've got all this weird Doctor Who puffiness. No, I think what you're supposed to do is take it down to your this bit. And I think your lymph drainage is behind your knees. I've been reading a lot about this recently.
We'll get you.
Behind your knees, in your groin, and then here. I think this is right. Someone will soon correct us. So if you're doing your face, you're pulling up and around your ear and then you're taking it down. I see this really amazing girl, Helen, for facials. She does lymphatic drainage and she's brilliant. And that's what you're pulling it all up here and around. I mean, sometimes I do it and I'll get into a really good habit of doing it with the gua sha. And then sometimes I just can't be bothered to even take my makeup off at night.
I know, no, same.
And that's the great thing about not being able to see. Sometimes I just can't see. I'm like, oh, well, at least I can't see my face right now.
Yeah, my friend said the other day, Amy was like, oh, you need to get yourself one of those magnifying mirrors. And I went, no, I absolutely do not need to get myself a magnifying mirror. I do not want to see all those lines. I really am quite happy with the blurry effect. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, much better.
A nickname that my kids call me, this is going to happen all the time, these mind bubbles that are just going to pop up whenever we're talking. There's one nickname that they call me, and that is from Doctor Who, and you just referenced Doctor Who, and that's Cassandra. And do you remember the villain Cassandra?
Yes.
She's stretched her skin so much. She's had so many treatments, whatever. She's so old that she's just a little bit of parchment and she needs moisturising all the time. And that is me. Just moisturise me.
That's hilarious. Do you know what, though? It's true. I can't. I tell you what's happening. My legs are getting really scaly. It's awful. Yep. I'm like, how can I? I'm just, where is the fluid going? It is not in my body anymore. And yesterday I covered myself in exfoliate, I think it is, this green stuff. And this morning my skin's so smooth and set up. You can't do that every day. I haven't got time for all of this. Yeah. It's so, yeah, I feel desiccated is the word.
The scaly skin is definitely something that happens later in life. When you get to the, like, later in 50s, that the skin just changes and you're like, why did nobody tell me about this? And how the hell do I deal with it? What do I do?
No.
But I think, yeah, exfoliate and moisturise to within an inch of your life. That is the answer.
Scrubbing. That's what we need. Yeah.
I reckon we should call it a day for now, don't you? I think we've talked enough. I think we've waffled on enough.
We've all got things to do, Jo. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, please, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, our WhatsApp number is in the show notes and the email is questions@digitpod.co.uk. See how much better we're getting at doing this thing.
Oh, come on, it's rolling off the tongue, girl. I love it.
And genuinely, we absolutely love hearing from you. Just to see your faces, hear your voices, read your questions, it just means the world and it's just, yeah, it's good. So bring them on, bring it on. We'll see you on Wednesday.
I'm going to go and plunge my face into some ice cold water, sort my bags out.
I'm going to the super sausage.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Dig It is a Persephonica production.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.